This is Leo Babeu for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. It's been a few weeks, and a lot has gone on outside, weather-wise and phenologically, since the last time we had Wandering Nature News with our guest naturalist from Gooseberry Falls State Park, Michaela Rice. And I have the pleasure of having Michaela on the phone with me today from downstate, where you're doing some training for your job. So you're excused from being here in person, Michaela. But how are you, and what are you thinking about after the big snow last week?
Well, yeah, I'm here sitting under the large bridge at Fort Snelling State Park. Very different setting than the studio, but it's going to be an interesting week for me. There's no snow left down here, but the swamps have some water and the buds are opening on some of the trees. Robins are singing. It's springtime. Curious about what birds or animals you notice during the snow up in your neighborhood?
Well, I know some people were concerned.
Some of them, you know.
Some people were concerned for robins that had come back weeks earlier. But I've seen robins weather the snow falls. They get up here and they start seeing soft ground and they can start pulling critters out of it. And then suddenly it freezes up again or gets covered with snow. They must have adaptive strategies. I don't know what they are.
They can eat berries, you know, as well. So that helps when there's snow on the ground. They can still eat berries on the trees.
Because I never see them at the feeder.
Nope, they're not seed eaters, I don't think. But they have a wide diet. Unlike one bird I was hearing a lot of whispers about was the woodcock. They, I think, primarily only eat insects from the ground that they pick up with that long, cute beak.
Right. Well, last
they
week...
They kind of... responded, you know, differently.
But. Yeah. Last week would have been hard for anybody looking for an insect on the ground because it would have been in the subnivian zone, right? Remember that? Finally trained me in on that great term for those creature, that whole world under the snow where a bunch of critters make their livings.
Yeah. And in this case, the subnivian zone covered up some of the food sources for these birds that we've been seeing
Indeed.
Coming back, right? So 2 months ago, we were talking about how the birds were suffering because there wasn't a subnivian zone. But yeah, things change, and there are some of those early spring birds like crows and even the pigeons, I'm sure, you know, they were nesting already. Possibly, I don't know, I heard one of my coworkers at Gooseberry talking about pigeons nesting. So they presumably got snowed out. You know, there are some birds that can do a few weeks of snow and be okay. They can eat what's available on the trees.
Right. You were asking me what birds I had encountered. Well, I cheated a little bit by going out of the Arrowhead last on Easter weekend to visit my daughter down along the Mississippi River, just upstream from Little Falls. And there were sand hills all over.
Ooh,
there were massive amounts of crows as well. But that sound, that is quite a sound, was emanating from the fields. You know, last year's row crop fields.
Wow, that's amazing. So I heard of red poles and crossbills possibly being in the Duluth Cloquet area, maybe even north of Duluth. But those are just, you know, two birds we definitely didn't see all winter.
Could you repeat that? Did you say what, red poles?
Red poles.
We had thousands. Yeah. No, I'm exaggerating by saying thousands, but we had hundreds, legitimately hundreds during the snow.
I was not up the shore during that time. I didn't see them.
Yeah, they were eagerly awaiting every trip we made out with more food. You know, they're preferred ground feeders, and boy, they're abundant, and they pulse in waves. They almost respond like they have some kind of sonar to movement, and the whole flock would just jump off the ground, fly away, and then gyrate in the air and spin back and come back down after we had dropped off what they were looking for, which was the next batch of food. So yes, and it's a warm and fuzzy sight for us in late winter to have red poles in the, bounding around on the ground in the snow looking for those seeds.
The way you describe their movement reminds me of red-winged blackbirds, which I saw returning in the suburbs and I believe in Duluth as well.
I think they would have been back, yes.
Yep. And then I also saw a great blue heron.
Oh, wow.
By Pine City yesterday. That made me really happy.
Absolutely. And that's a sure sign of a different season. And yet we had up to 20 inches in parts of our listener area, Michaela. And it's gone down. It's been packed. It's been melting off. But while you were in Fort Snelling today for your job-related training, we had snow flying through the air this afternoon, Michaela. Nothing accumulating, but it was pretty wintry looking still, and maybe 37 degrees. So there's a pause, and the meltdown is kind of incremental, kind of in steps.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not quite bare grounded yet, and it'll probably take, if we have days in the upper 40s next week is what it looks like, we'll finally begin a thorough meltdown towards that time of the year that we humans all love, the mud season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what it represents for animals, and it's probably pretty transitional.
Yeah, I think just what reminded me of was emergence, the full thaw. More of the turtles will probably be snakes for the first time early, you know, maybe some frogs and toads. I saw two mosquitoes on Sunday in Duluth. So these pulsating, you know, ponds, standing water, is producing mosquitoes.
Oh my, that's not really what we wanted to hear.
I know, but yeah, so it really is spring. But Leo, I wanted to hear what your bet for the first flower, I'll say like between you and I in our little social groups, out of like the native flowers, which species someone's going to see bloom first.
I'm no good at this anymore, Michaela.
Okay.
About 10 years ago, I was studying my botany more than I am now. So those ephemeral flowers of spring under the canopy where there are no tree leaves out yet, I'm not sure who comes first. So why don't you give me your more expert opinion?
No, I mean, I don't know really either. I think violas are coming up. Violets are coming up.
Yes.
I've seen the leaves. Are they the first to bloom? Probably not.
And
I don't know if we have like hepatica at Gooseberry. I don't think we do.
We do have it along my road. And I was going to mention hepatica.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to also, that would be most likely where I live, but I know it might be different. And you were talking about viola. Are they like the viola tricolor? Like they're essentially relatives.
Like eight species, yeah.
Relatives
sure.
of the pansy,
one.
I think.
The yellow one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or true violets, but.
Well, I'll maybe brainstorm another few for next week. I'm just thinking if we get a warm spell after some of the soil moisture is returned, we might actually have a few spring flowers, you know, that are coming around. Skunk cabbage, I'm sure, is blooming. I don't think we have it at Gooseberry, but maybe you have some by
More like we will eventually have marsh marigolds, not so much skunk cabbage in our woods. Yeah. And I think that's a little ways off. I don't know. There must be people who kind of connect the dots between when they see one ephemeral flower bloom. They might connect that to what might be happening in the mammalian world, like what animals are birthing. And again, that's pretty sophisticated stuff. Do you have any guidelines like that yourself about when breeding seasons are?
My dad was talking about a calendar, you know, my dad's in his 60s, a calendar that would just say, you know, on the day, I believe it was like a month by month calendar, a phenological kind of observation. So it seemed, we couldn't figure out who like the publisher was. I didn't grow up with any of that knowledge, so I'm trying to learn it all.
Yeah.
And linking those timings together is even more sophisticated than just knowing some activities,
right,
you know, along the timeline just as they appear. So no, but that's a goal of mine, but
right.
No, you got me on that.
And a lot of things might be related to that classic indicator of photo period. And yet we know that you impose all the different things that might be happening, whether they're moisture levels or temperatures, big storm events, and you can throw off, you know, you don't necessarily get what you expect photo period wise, especially unfortunately, in an era of rapidly changing climate.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is a great lead into my program next week.
Oh, perfect.
But the one that my dad did teach me when I was younger was that the morel mushrooms where I grew up typically came out when the lilacs were blooming. So that's one that I've really memorized, which has my appreciation for spring flowers and fungi literally is what caused me to create this program for the public library next week.
Oh, and what
so
is that?
April 12th,
yeah.
11 a.m. Yeah, and this was kind of Emily, the librarian's idea too, but we're learning about fungi and these spring flower ephemerals. So of course we're going to make a fun craft and kind of learn what's going to be popping up in the spring along the shore possibly, or in your neighborhood in Two Harbors or something.
Yeah. Well, I do know, I do know, you know, just to cut in, I think you grew up a little bit south of some of us Northlanders. So our lilacs come really late along Lake Superior. And at that, and we also have the morels are quite a bit away from, you know, they're on the other side of the lake or they're 100 miles south of us. So we don't get to observe them together.
Yeah, I know. These are all new for me up here. And the, like you said, the timings are different. Yeah, we're just kind of doing an intro to that topic.
Yeah.
And then at the park next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, there's either a wellness program or a waterfalls tour in the afternoon. So please check out the Parks and Trails event calendar for the exact times and program names.
Okay, but this is next week, so that would be Monday is the 8th. So the 8th, the 10th, and the 12th, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Thank you, yep.
Great.
And that's at Gooseberry Falls State Park.
Excellent. So we can you can check up and confirm. Did you give the times?
The times are online. Yep.
Good. Everyone can look that up at Minnesota State Parks, Gooseberry Falls events calendar. All right. Anything else, Michaela? I hate to keep you. You're on travel. I need keeping you from moving by keeping you on the phone. So what else would you like to leave us with?
No, thanks for having me, Leo.
Sure.
This is just one of my favorite times, and I'd love to talk maybe about Lake Superior sometime soon.
Great.
Leading into a big event that I'm planning this summer for Lake Superior Day at the park, and the whole shore is kind of celebrating in different ways the 50th anniversary of the coastal program is coming out, so I can talk more about that next time.
Fantastic.
And
what is the
we
big
can just what, celebrate water and spring.
Absolutely. So many say water is life, and this is the biggest pot of life in the world outside our doors. What month is this coming to a head, the Lake Superior celebrations?
Yeah, so that is in July. It's
great.
July 21st.
Okay.
That weekend is National Lake Superior Day.
Oh, great. Let's create great hoopla and anticipation for that. Thanks, Michaela. I appreciate you immensely, and we'll see you on the radio soon. Take care. Get back up
to the shore
safely, and we'll see you next time, hopefully in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye now. Michaela Rice, the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, and this is Leo for KTWH.